Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by top London radio DJ and certified Japanophile, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how the devil are you?
Hello, Christopher. It's real, it's emotional, it's lovely to be back with you. And I think this podcast is better than being in Japan because you don't have that horrible jet lag for listening.
You sounded really creepy then when you said hello. I don't know why.
Hello.
Sounded, yeah, that was it. That's
We're coming up to Halloween. We are coming up to Halloween, Chris. So normal Pete is going to turn into spooky Pete fairly soon. Oh, did somebody drew me as my Halloween costume as Goro Majima from the Yakuza set of games. Beautiful rendition.
Really good.
Yeah, it's so good. Such talented listeners.
It was the best fan art I've ever seen, and I was really envious. I sort of hinted. I left a comment like, this is really good. If only someone were to do one about me. Nothing. Literally nothing. Only you got the super duper professional grade quality artwork. So well done. Lucky you. We need to put it somewhere so people can actually see it, because it was on Twitter somewhere. I've saved it down. Mm. So I'll put it somewhere. The Monument of Pete, but it's really nice artwork.
Yeah. It's lovely.
Well done. Lucky you.
I mean, I presume in your house now, because you've been doing this podcast for a little while. Cracking on for 5 or 6 months. I presume you've set up some kind of Pete Donaldson shrine in your Japanese home.
I think you've overestimated my love for you, Pete.
I will do that.
Our line conversations, our text messages are the shrine.
Yeah.
Kind of chasm of ridiculousness with your stupid pictures that you take of London buses and send them over to me.
There was a what have I sent you online? I've sent you a picture of a London bus that was getting like fixed. They had like this crane sort of thing that was lifting up a London bus, and there was a guy underneath it, and he was fixing it like it was like a normal car. He was just lying underneath it with a spanner, but the bus was like up on one end. I'd never seen anything like it. A double decker London bus doing a wheelie. That's having it.
I live for those photos. I live for those photos.
Damn right.
So, ladies and gentlemen, Pete is coming to Japan soon. In fact, by the time this podcast comes out, you should already be here, actually. We might even be on the cycle, given there's like a 1-2 week delay on this.
Yeah.
But you're actually going somewhere else before Japan, aren't you? Where are you going, Pete?
I'm going to Zimbabwe. And I'm hoping, because in Harare, the capital, I think it's the capital, Bulawayo is the second biggest city there, I think, for a charity that I've done a bit of work with before. The problem is, there is a big old cholera outbreak, and there's a person who was supposed to be on the trip with me who's got cholera, so there's just a lot of cholera around. So I've had my vaccine, hopefully, the vaccine that is supposed to work 80% of the time. Will allow me to not
80%,
get cholera. 80%, yeah. Not really a vaccine, is it, really, in many ways?
Please don't bring a cholera epidemic to Japan.
I'll do what I want, Chris.
One for the CV. Yes, yeah. don't bring cholera. That would jeopardise the cycle somewhat. But well done, fair play, Mr. Charity Man.
It would certainly make your cycle ride a lot more interesting if you had to do it with late-stage cholera, where you're just pooping yourself all the time. But yeah, no, it's a serious problem for the developing world, but I'm sure Japan could deal with it.
Yeah, I mean, the only we don't have problems of that scale here. Today, The only problem I had was this awkward guy on the Shinkansen back from Tokyo. I was in Tokyo today. Came back to Sendai. It's an hour and a half journey. Quite a nice journey.
Yeah,
and it's pretty busy. I got on Tokyo Station, and you know, you get on the carriage, and you go down the aisle, and you've got three seats on one side and two seats on the other. I grabbed a window seat on the three chair seat side. Sat by the window, and the carriage got filled up really quick, and there was me, an empty seat in the middle, and some guy came and sort of sat down next to me. And he sat down with his bag. He sort of looked to his right hand side to see me sitting there like downing some sushi, which I just bought, and he sort of like panicked and sort of looked like he wanted to get away really quickly. He stood back up again, even though he just sort of settled down into his seat. He stood back up again and was like desperately looking around for another chair. And he did a really bad job of hiding it, and it made me really annoyed. Maybe as an affliction to sushi, or maybe it was just because I'm foreign. Yeah. Probably the second one. Happened quite a lot.
I like to think that your flies were down and your willy had popped out or something. You looked a bit like a deviant, that's all. But I like that he tried to style it out but just came off really like badly. He just tried to style it out and muffed it up massively, and you noticed that he didn't want to sit next to you. Oh, Chris, I'd sit next to you, mate.
He did a crap job of hiding it. He was like throwing his head around, and the carriage was kind of filling up with people really fast. Filling up with people. And he couldn't get another seat, and so he kind of relented. He sat back down again, and then he stood up again, looked around one last time. There were still no empty seats, and finally he gave up and had to sit next to me. And he rather than putting the bag on the floor or in the overhead space, he had his like rucksack on his lap, and he had his arms around it, clinging to it as though he was clinging to like a life raft or something. Just like it was rather surreal. I don't know. He maybe is an odd chap, but it's quite a common thing, right? Just having nobody want to sit next to you because you're foreign. Sometimes it gets to me. Sometimes it makes me a bit angry. But then, I can't really hold it against people in Japan. Foreigners are a little bit scary. I'm scary. But, yeah, the upside was I got a seat next to me the whole ride. So, yeah, swings and roundabouts.
Yeah, exactly.
It did annoy me.
If goes to sit down and then goes, I don't want to sit there, I don't mind at all. Because usually on trains, I like to... take two seats, have a little lie down. I'm such a sleepy boy.
You greedy devil.
You know,
I love what everyone does on like buses and trains though. You put the bag next to you, right? You put your luggage on the seat next to you, and then people walk past awkwardly, desperately needing a seat.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, I'm not gonna move my bag unless somebody asks. And then finally someone asks, oh, can I sit here? And you're like, yeah, sure, sit down next to me. It always happens. Just Japan, everywhere. The good old seat saving technique. Chuck your bag on it. It's been a really busy month. I've travelled to like four different prefectures. I've been to Yamaguchi in the south on the border between Honshu and Kyushu. I've been to Aomori. I've been to the most northern tip of Honshu in Aomori to look at some tuna. And I recently went to Mount Fuji as well for another video that should be out by the time this podcast comes out.
Okay.
It's a video where I basically tried to look for Mount Fuji whilst also practicing for the cycle. Did 30 kilometres.
You couldn't see Mount Fuji.
I went there for three bloody days to the number one spot. Couldn't see it. Yeah. In the clouds the whole time. I was absolutely gutted. I thought, I knew it was going to be in the clouds because you can never see Mount Fuji.
Yeah.
But I thought I'd at least see it for like 10 minutes. And all my friends who I went with, they were smart. They got up at like 6:30 in the morning.
Ugh.
And they got an amazing view of it. They took loads of photos. Meanwhile, I got up at about 10 a.m. And by the time I got up, it was long gone. And we couldn't get a single shot of it for the bloody video. Brand new, groundbreaking Mount Fuji video. And not a single shot of Mount Fuji. Absolute let down. There you go.
It's one of the situations where like you can occasionally see Mount Fuji from like a tall building like Shinjuku or something, but yeah, you get right next to it and the cloud cover is just crazy. I think I've only ever seen it like once, and that was from a train.
Yeah. Really good view of it from the bullet train between Tokyo and Osaka, but yep, I was gutted.
Sorry.
I was like, they're going to be the highlight of my month, and it just unraveled before me.
Well, to be fair, Chris, you have climbed it at some point, so you shouldn't be...
Yeah, but I didn't see it when I was on it.
What, you didn't see
it?
You didn't look down at your feet?
I mean, it doesn't count. I mean, I've been in Japan 1 year, and I'd never seen Mount Fuji. And then I climbed it through the night, and then I was on the top of it. But it's one of those mountains that you have to see from a distance, and it just looks so majestic and wonderful. You don't really appreciate it when you climb it, although the view's all right.
Yeah.
But my Fuji video got taken down. A lot of you guys listening have been sending me comments and messages saying, where's your old videos going? Because I've had like maybe 6 or 7 videos have been wiped off the last month, and YouTube's just been taking them off for... Stupidly, I used copyrighted music in the early days when I started out. I'd use like songs and things, and like I shouldn't have used copyrighted soundtracks. Now they've been taken down, and so my whole video's gone. So my Fuji video, which I love dearly, is no longer there. People can't watch it, so that's a shame, isn't it?
I like that one because it's you basically at halfway up a mountain, inadequately dressed, and just complaining about how inadequately dressed you are. That is annoying. Maybe you should do like a concatenation, a montage of all your old videos, just like a little best of sort of thing.
Best of, yeah, copyright music videos.
Yeah, well, I mean,
best of videos that have been removed.
I'll get the guitar out. I'll do some copyright free renditions of some of the greatest hits of David Bowie or something, and then you'll be fine. They'll never find you. The algorithms will never get you.
Definitely not. Mm. Definitely not. Because I just can you actually play the guitar, or is it going to be like a really dodgy rendition?
I know the main chords. When I was in that bar in Fukuoka, there's like a music bar. The guy sort of went, like, he's clearly a talented guitarist, and he went, and he kept on going, "Why? I've got a guitar. Why don't you sing us a song?" And I was like, I can't sing a song and I can't play the guitar. And then he goes, "Oh no!" And he gets this chord sheet out. He gets this song sheet for "Rock and Roll Suicide" by David Bowie and hands me it and goes, "Oh, I just can't get the main chorus bit right." And I'm going, "Mate, it's a C chord and a G chord, or whatever it is. It's a really simple chord." And he's going, "Oh, I can't seem to get this right. You need to teach me." And I was like, "All right, I'll sing the bloody song." And so I sang "Rock and Roll Suicide" in that bar and played the guitar a bit.
And did your rendition get the praise it deserved?
Hey, I was a few sheets to the wind, and I was surprised that I could perform. So I wasn't too bad. Let's put it that way.
Well done,
thank you.
I expect to see, you should bring the guitar for the cycle.
Yeah, I could be like
guitar,
your minstrel.
Guitar in one hand, bike in the other.
I mean, you keep on threatening me with this bike, but I just don't see. Have you got like a roof rack for a spare bike? I don't understand how it's going to work. Because I think you've got another friend joining you at some point, haven't you? On the old two wheeler.
We've got loads of people joining. Actually, there's going to be like 5 or 6 people, including Natsuki and Ryotaro joining.
Whoa! So. Are they going to be cycling?
Fun. Should be fun. I still can't believe it's actually happening. Still can't believe it's a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How exciting!
I don't know.
How are you going? How are you?
Hopefully
I'm just worried about the nuts and bolts. How are you going to get the cycles to the people who need the cycles?
Yeah, we've actually got a support car with a guy who's going to be editing and helping with the editing.
Yeah.
We've got like a logistics dude who's going to be sorting out hotels and things.
Yeah.
So there are going to be people helping.
Yeah, but I understand that bit. How are you going to keep the bike? Is that going to be on the top of the roof of the car or something?
Yeah, your bike will be stuck in the back of a van somewhere. And then when you arrive, we will hand you the bike.
So you've got like a two grand monstrosity of a professional bike, and whoever is on the other bike will be one of those little commuter ones that you fold up, put in the back of the car.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's part of my strategy to look good. Have the person joining me fall apart on a little crappy bike.
Exactly.
Alongside me.
Look at me as you do a wheelie off into a into a tunnel through a cliff. Well, speaking of things getting smaller and being able to hide in the back of a car, like a commuter bike, Chris.
Big news
in the video game world. I'm excited. I don't know about you.
Sony have announced the PlayStation Classic Retro Mini console.
Whoa.
Straight off the back of Nintendo and, Nintendo launching their small retro classic edition, Super Nintendo. PlayStation have pretty much copied them. Sony have copied them. And on December 3rd, to celebrate PlayStation's 24th birthday, a new PlayStation Classic Retro Mini console is coming out, 45% smaller than the original, for $99, with 20 preloaded games in the console, including Final Fantasy VII, Tekken 3, and Ridge Racer Type 4, my first
ever
console.
Ridge Racer!
And that was the first game like I ever actually played as a kid, actually, when I was 5 or 6 years old.
Oh, really? What, Ridge Racer, or just the PlayStation in general?
Well, PlayStation in general and Ridge Racer Type 4 was the first game I properly played. And I remember the soundtrack. I remember your little chant just then of Ridge Racer. I remember that so vividly. I was so excited. I loved the little DualShock controllers. The console's coming with two controllers in the box, so you can play with your friends straight off the bat. But yeah, a lot of people are very excited about this. Others have said that it's a bit exploitative because it's still pretty expensive. I mean, it's $100.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
For a console that came out 24 years ago, which I think is about a third of the cost of the original console when that came out in 1994. But I'm quite excited about it. I'm not going to buy it, probably, but hopefully one of my friends will, and then I can play on it, which is what I always do. Are you going to buy one?
To be honest, if I had the chance, I actually looked at pre-orders because when the mini NES came out and the mini SNES and stuff, or SNES as they call it in America. With those two consoles, like, they were pre-ordered massively, and they all only did a limited run, and people were selling them for ridiculous amounts of money on eBay. So if I had a bit more of a business mind about me, I'd buy 10 of the buggers and get them on eBay, because they will be the much-needed, must-have Christmas toy. But I don't know when the UK release is. I don't think it's even... I've not seen any pre-orders for it yet, but they will be on everybody's Christmas
list. Well, I
think
it's December 3rd.
Yeah, there's always supply problems. Oh, they never have enough. And they always get flipped and stuck on eBay. But I'm well up for this. I wasn't necessarily up. I think PlayStation was the first console I really played on, to be honest. I think, but obviously I was a bit older. Considerably older. And playing Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. If it's got Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, which I think it should have by rights, I'm well in.
Sure
I am
will.
In. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2 on the PlayStation 1. Beautiful.
I must admit, when I got the PlayStation, I never really... I felt like I never really took advantage of it. I never had the best games for it. I had Ridge Race for Type 4. Mm. I can't remember what other games I ever had for the PlayStation, though. I had some kind of Small Soldiers game, which was pretty awful in hindsight. But I defected to the Nintendo 64 about a year or two after that, and then the N64 was the console I spent most of my time on, like playing GoldenEye and Perfect Dark and Mario. And so I never felt like I bonded with the PlayStation as much as I should have, and that's the reason I never had a PlayStation 2, arguably the best console ever.
It's sort of less fiddly in many ways. I think the N64 was a little less fiddly and a little bit more user-friendly. The PlayStation, you know, you had to mess around with it a little bit. I think it was a little bit more, I don't know, it was a bit more of a serious machine, I think, the PlayStation. But the CDs and the stuff like that, it was I don't know. But
what do you think it is about these consoles that are coming back? Why do you think they're so popular still after all these years?
Because the world is crap right now, Chris, and everyone wants to be a child again. That's why everyone wants to revel in the, you know, the mulch that is our younger days, our nostalgia. It's not healthy, but I'll get involved if it means I can play Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2 with the original soundtrack.
I think with the Super Nintendo, the SNES, I think the games still hold up quite well, because a lot of the games aren't 3D, they're kind of 2D, right? There's a sort of timeless quality to them. Like, if you play something like, Monkey Island, that's not a 3D rendered game, right?
Yeah.
And it still plays kind of well. Whereas I played Nintendo 64 this year a few times. I played GoldenEye and Perfect Dark, and it really hurt my eyes. I just couldn't look at the screen. Because this was the point when games turned 3D, right?
Yeah.
And the resolution these days, it's just atrocious. And just I can't play it. Whereas with the older consoles, because it's 2D, because they're a different format, a different visual style, it still holds up in a way that you can kind of play and enjoy. So I think that has something to do with it, as well as the nostalgia factor as well.
And to my surprise, I stumbled across a secret, sexy club.
Wow!
Next article, next story that's got me excited. Pizza vending machine attracts crowd in Hiroshima. Those three words excite me a lot. Pizza vending machine.
So it's a vending machine that just dispenses pizza that it's just made, effectively.
Effectively, I mean, you've taken something that's brilliant and made it sound pretty average. Because, to be honest, in hindsight, maybe it is.
But nonetheless,
it's still that popular. There's still a crowd of people when it came out.
So how did this come about? I'm imagining, because I've never seen this pizza vending machine in Japan, I'm imagining it being hit over here in London or in Italy, and it just going wrong and spaffing out oodles of hot cheese into people's faces and, you know, burning people terribly. That's what I worry about.
I find your lack of faith in the pizza vending machine disturbing. Also excited about your use of the phrase spaffing out.
Well,
I haven't heard that in a while.
Yeah. Spaffing is only ever used for one thing, Chris, and let's not go into it.
Right. Especially not in the context of pizza vending machines.
No.
So, truck driver Yoshiharu Taniguchi a truck, yeah, this truck driver apparently was just craving some Italian pizzas when he was just driving around all night through Hiroshima. And for some reason, he decided to get one. He rang up some Italian companies and asked them if there is such a thing in right. Italy. Turns out there was.
Yeah.
And he put in an order and they modified it, sent it to Japan. And Bob's your uncle. Now Hiroshima has a pizza vending machine. When it came out, it attracted crowds straight away. There was queues of like 40, 50 people just waiting for this vending machine pizza. And this, I think this guy has actually now changed his entire career. No longer a truck driver. He's trying to build a pizza vending machine empire. Could work. Could work. I do think there's a solid market in Japan for slightly more reasonably priced pizzas. The other week, I went out with some friends and I said, I kind of vouched to pay for everyone's dinner because I was in a good mood. They'd help me make a video. So I said, I'll pay for everyone's dinner. Let's get in four or five pizzas. And I went to a really cheap pizza chain online called Pizzala in Japan. And it was about $50 for one pizza.
Bloody
so
hell.
I was looking at like a $300 bill for, jeez, you know, six pizzas, which is just obscene, especially given that pizzas in Japan aren't the best quality anyway, by the standards of Italian pizzas anyway. So in the end, I just took everyone to McDonald's, which was it was $50 for like eight people to have a great meal at McDonald's anyway.
Yeah.
So I do think there is a market for more reasonably priced pizza, and this could be it. This guy might have tapped into something, the future of pizza in Japan.
I think anyone in America, like hearing you say that a pizza is $50, like, would probably be surprised, especially if they really like pizza. Because, like, pizza's like, you know, you get like a dollar slice pizza. I mean, it's not great pizza, but, you know, you can buy a slice for a dollar. I mean, $50 for one pizza. What was on it? Gold?
I don't know why. Golden pizza. I mean, I don't even know. I don't know why it's so expensive. It's not as if they're importing these pizzas from overseas, right? Like, the dough can be made locally in Japan. I don't get it. But yeah, they're really, really expensive for what is essentially a bread, some bread, some tomatoes and some cheese to be $50. It's an absolute piss take. But these pizzas take 5 minutes to bake. They come in two varieties, no less, margherita and four cheese.
Mm.
And I like the quote, this truck driver's quote. He says, "Japan still has many opportunities. My goal is to spread pizza vending machines throughout Japan from Hiroshima." What a great goal in life.
It's not a bad little twist.
What put you on this earth, Yoshiharu? Spread pizza vending machines throughout Japan. Brilliant.
Yeah, I'm up for it. Life but it's the 5 minute wait though. I'm not sure I could handle that. When I'm hungry, I'm really hungry. I just want to eat everything, and that's how I over order.
Yeah, I don't think it'd work that well.
Yeah.
You've got 40 people in a queue waiting for pizzas, which each take 5 minutes to produce. What I do know is I will be cycling through Hiroshima in a few weeks. If all goes well. If I don't get cholera from you.
No worries, mate.
Already sounds like you've got cholera with your bloody coughing.
Cholera is not a coughing.
Poor old Pete.
I always thought cholera was a coughing disease, but because it sounds like cough. But it's not. It's very much dehydration and bum problems.
Brilliant.
Watch
well,
out,
don't
guys.
Bring that to Japan.
No, I won't.
But if we do make it to Hiroshima, this is on my like hit list.
Oh yeah.
Providing there's not a big bloody queue with 40 people, I'm going to find this vending machine, going to cycle straight up to it, and get the pizza I deserve, and then we're going to rate it right there and then.
Lovely.
See if it's actually worth buying. Yeah.
Definitely.
All right. Well, let's turn our gaze to the fax machine. What have you guys been sending in this week? What have we got, Pete?
Well, we got one from Will. Will says, "Hello, Chris and Pete. My Japanese teacher is a man in his 40s or so who goes to my university on some kind of exchange program. His name is Joe. He's a very nice man and is very bright and eccentric. As it got a little bit hotter here and Joe began to wear short-sleeved shirts and the like, it became very obvious that his upper body was covered in Yakuza-style tattoos, complex art of waves, fish, flowers, etc., down to where his short sleeves come to, where it is abruptly cut off. It looks just like any Yakuza tattoos you might see if you look them up on Google. He's also talked about being young and riding motorcycles and getting in trouble when he was younger. Should I ever ask him about his tattoos? Should I avoid mentioning his tattoos at all? I'm generally interested in the whole thing, and the tattoos are beautiful, but I don't want to make him uncomfortable or create a situation where he doesn't like me." Oh, Will just wants to be friends with a man who has clearly been expelled from a clan slash country.
Well,
Yeah. Get out. Get out of the Torjor clan. You have to go to wherever Will lives and teach English. Teach Japanese.
I mean, this seems like a no-brainer to me, Will. Just say, are you in the Yakuza? Or do it in a jokey way, you know. Just be like, those tattoos look like someone would have in the Yakuza. And if he kind of, you know, how he reacts, maybe push forward on that. Just be like, but are you actually in the Yakuza? Just be direct. I wouldn't hold back. I mean, what's the worst that could happen?
Oh, exactly.
I mean, he's got tattoos that look like they're Yakuza on Google. I mean, that's pretty solid evidence.
If he's lost, something went wrong. Yeah, if he's lost a finger though, I mean, that's another clue, I would say. But I'm sure he'll be quite open about it. For crying out loud, he's halfway across the world.
Will didn't mention that, did he?
No.
He didn't mention check anything out his about fingers. Finger.
Check out his fingers. If he's done something bad.
But yeah, just ask him, Will. And when you do it, when you get the answer, let us know. I'm quite keen to find out myself. He probably is, to be fair. I'd say it's more likely that he is or was in the Yakuza than he's not.
Yeah.
Because whilst people in Japan do have tattoos these days, it's becoming more and more popular, they wouldn't have a massive, like, you know, full upper body Yakuza-style tattoo. They're more like, would have their name or like a flower. This guy has full upper body tattoos, complex art waves, fish, flowers, etc. I'd say he's probably like 70% Yakuza. 70% definitely Yakuza. So find out, let us know, put us out of our misery.
He is in his 40s, I guess, isn't he?
Yeah, he's probably... I reckon there's a good story to be had there. Yeah. Try and get the scoop.
Yeah, all
right.
Maybe
something went wrong. Nick says, hey, Pete and Chris, hope all is well. I wanted to follow up on something that was suggested to you. Where is the Ryotaro supervillain movie? Also, Pete, I was wondering, what's your favourite alcoholic drink in Japan?
Wow.
Good luck with the podcast and the bike, Nick.
Do not call me a bike, sir.
There is going to be no Ryotaro supervillain movie. I think we've wrapped that up nicely. It was 20 seconds long. That's all the time the Ryotaro movie needs to be. I don't even think it would work. I don't think Ryotaro's wacky or ridiculous enough to be in a film like Natsuki. With Natsuki, you just stick him in front of a camera and things happen that are funny and interesting, whereas Ryotaro is a bit more just regular guy. I don't think it would work. But more importantly, what is your favourite alcoholic drink in Japan, Pete?
I think, I'll just going back to the first question, I think that... I don't consume a lot of Japanese sort of films and video games, but the Yakuza series is one that I do, bringing it back to the Yakuza series. God, imagine the character I was going to cosplay. I was going to Halloween costume. Is like this wacky kind of crazy character who pops up at weird times and ruins the life of the main character. But the main character is quite handsome, quite stoic, quite Hollywood.
Traits I can relate to.
Well, I was thinking like Ryotaro is very, he's quite good looking. He's quite well spoken. He's quite well turned out. And Natsuki's mad. So I think those two would play off quite well. I think it's kind of the Chris Tucker, kind of Jackie Chan, kind of Rush Hour kind of dynamic. Oh, I think I'd definitely watch a film with those two together. Natsuki just getting him into all kinds of scrapes and him trying to get out of it with his street smarts.
I'd watch it.
I'd watch it. But I wouldn't film it.
I wouldn't want to film it.
No, God no.
I mean,
God,
I wouldn't want to film that, sod that, but I'd definitely watch it. If any of you listening are a budding filmmaker looking for a challenge, Natsuki and Ryotaro, the fighting movie.
I'm sure they'd be up for it. My favourite alcoholic drink in Japan, somewhere between a red eye, which is tomato juice and lager. That's... sure to please.
That's horrible.
It's delicious. And it's so nice. It's like tomato fizzy juice. Tomato juice.
It's not good. It's horrible.
There's this liqueur that they occasionally drink called Yogurito, and I've only ever seen it in Japan, and it always makes me laugh. A shot of Yogurito, please. They have it in... It's a bit like... I suppose like an alcoholic Kalpis, I suppose. But yeah, it's just a yogurt-flavoured liqueur, and you just have it, and it just tastes like yogurt. It's quite nice. So, I don't know how alcoholic
it is. You do know Yogurito just means yogurt, right?
So Yogurito is just Japanese for yogurt. We'll just call it yogurt.
Well...
Or yogurto.
It would be a lot easier. Yeah, yogurt. Yogurt is Yogurito.
Yogurito. So Yogurito, Yogurito.
A complicated translation. They could just call it yogurt. Actually, no, it's called... It's different in America, though, isn't it? Yogurt.
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 Yogurt. Yogurt.
So, I suppose that's... Yeah. You love that drink, though.
What
it's nice. It's good. It's kind of got a milky flavour.
Yeah.
Sparkling.
Nice. Delicious.
Last comment is from Nick from Canada. Mm. And this actually relates to the earthquake that happened in Hokkaido just a few weeks ago. I wasn't affected by it. A lot of people asked if I was affected by it. I wasn't, although I was kind of near it. Somehow, yeah, I didn't feel a thing. I would have thought I would have, but no.
Yeah.
I was affected by it in the sense that I was going to film something in Hokkaido, actually, a few days after, and the train was cancelled. The bullet train going under the sea from Honshu to Hokkaido was cancelled, so that was unfortunate. But, yeah, a lot of people got screwed, and it's not looking good for the future of Hokkaido in the coming months, because 942,000 people have cancelled their reservations for Hokkaido, which is going to cost potentially 29 billion yen. So that's kind of sad. That's one of probably the worst thing to come out of it long term. But we got a comment from Nick, who was caught up in it, and he says, "Hi Chris and Pete, we've been in Japan for 4 days of our 1 month trip, and although narrowly avoiding the Kansai typhoon last week by mere hours, we ended up in Sapporo for the 6.7 point magnitude earthquake.
Jeez.
Goodness me, exclamation mark. Running water and power have now been out for 2 days in Sapporo, and the city seems to finally be restarting this afternoon. My question to you folks is, have you ever been caught in a mass disaster response in Japan or elsewhere abroad? How did you guys fare? Everyone in Japan has been super helpful to us these past 48 hours, and a government shelter took us in when hotels had to shut their doors to us. Tourists and loads of transient salarymen. I'm writing this email from one of the few working power outlets in the JR Sapporo station, killing time while the trains restart. I still don't regret my choice to visit Japan and look forward to the rest of our trip. All the best, Nick from Canada." Very stoic, very upbeat. Well done, Nick. Better than I would probably fare in the face of no running water or power. There was some criticism over the way they handled the disaster with foreigners, actually. Because a lot of foreigners didn't know how to react and what to do, and the government there was not prepared for this. There haven't been that many disasters of this scale in Hokkaido that I know of in recent decades. So, yeah, it was really, really caught them unaware. I've never been caught in a mass disaster in Japan. I came 1 year after the mega tsunami in 2011, and all I ever saw was the overturned cars along the coastline. When I went there in 2013, I saw the damage that was done, and it was pretty bad. But it sounds kind of scary. I was talking to Ryota about it the other day, and obviously he lives in Sendai, which was the closest major city to the tsunami. Mm. And he said there was no running water or power for like a week or so, maybe more. And there's like these trucks that came around and delivered water to the houses and stuff. And it just sounded really scary. I mean, he sounded quite upbeat about it, but for me, it sounded terrifying, having no water or power. You know, we take that stuff for granted. We really do. I had no Wi-Fi yesterday because I was out filming in a mountain somewhere, and I was devastated. So to have no electricity for a week would destroy me.
Yeah.
So fair play to people for handling it. I got a few comments from people saying, should I cancel my holiday because of this? And we talked about this a few weeks ago, right, after the earthquake in Kansai, and we had flooding as well, didn't we? And now we've had a big typhoon that happened just before this earthquake and blew away quite a few roofs down Kansai. And I think a few people died in it. But, it's not been a good year for Japan in terms of natural disasters. This year's been pretty bad. But again, I wouldn't let it get in the way. Japan is very quick at turning around the situation. And Hokkaido is now pretty much back on its feet, from what I understand. And they're desperately trying to get back the business, because 29 billion yen, what's that? That's about $300 million, over $300 million of lost revenue. So that could really hurt a lot of businesses and cripple Hokkaido for this year. So, yeah, I mean, I hope tourists start coming back. And to you guys listening, I'd say don't, unless it's something really, really big, I would say don't let it get in your way, you know. Don't let it stop you coming to Japan.
What a serious way to end the podcast.
But a serious way of ending the podcast.
There's hope there.
Nick's experience, he's going to be able to talk about that for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
How he's caught up in a horrible earthquake, how he experienced a pretty big earthquake in the aftermath of that. You know, it's a story in itself. So Yeah, that's the only upside I can think of that situation. But if you have any stories from the earthquake or the typhoon or any disasters, natural disasters in Japan, let us know. And if you have any questions to us, guys, do send them in to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back same time next Wednesday. But until then, everyone, have a great week and we'll see you then. And let's hope Pete gets better. Let's hope your cough goes away.
I hope it will too.
Up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.